Our scripture lesson for this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, where we've been spending our weeks these past months. I'll be reading from chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Prepare your hearts for the reading of God's holy word. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." There ends the reading of God's holy word. May the Lord give his blessing to the reading and the hearing of it.
All right, the children join me this morning. What's up, Daniel? Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How many of you have ever had somebody do something really nice for you? Like maybe they got you a really special present, or a lot of you have? What have they done for you? They help you? Well, that's really nice. What about somebody else? I know a couple. Jenna, you had your hand raised. What did somebody do for you, Jenna? They got you something nice. Anybody else want to share? You guys aren't talkers, I see. And what did you say when they did that for you? Right, we said thank you. Now, has there ever been a time when maybe you forgot to say thank you and your parents had to go, "Now what do we say?" How many of you have heard that? I heard that tons when I was a kid. And today our Thank you. And today our scripture lesson is very similar to that, those scenarios. You see, in our scripture passage today, Jesus came across some guys who had a disease called leprosy. And this disease was a skin disease, and it made them have sores, and it was a disease that was very contagious. And so they stayed away from all the people so that nobody else got it. And when Jesus passed by them, they yelled to Jesus, "Have mercy on us." And he told them to go and see the priest. And as they were going, Jesus healed them, just commanded that the disease was gone, and it was gone. Now there was 10 of these guys with leprosy, and only one of them came back and said thank you to Jesus and was praising God for it. And Jesus was a little disappointed that only one of them came back. He knew that there were 10 who he had healed, and only one came and gave thanks to him and to God for healing them. But he was very grateful for the one who came and said thank you to him. So we have a great God, and he does so many things for us. He provides all our food. He provides our shelter, our clothing. Everything that we have comes from him. And sometimes we do forget to say thank you to him. So let's bow our heads right now and just thank God for all he does. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the great things that you have given us, Lord. You provide all our needs and protect us each and every day. We just thank you that you are present in our lives to do all those things. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Oh.
You know, last week, Greg and Amanda came to worship. Now, we don't get to see them very much, and with Amanda's serious health issues, we wanted to spend as much time as possible with him. So instead of staying for Christian Ed last week like we usually do, we cut out right after worship and headed home where I cooked lunch. Yes, that's right. I actually cooked lunch. Be amazed. Okay. I was cooking with Amanda, and little Bennett came up, said he was thirsty. And I was up to my elbows in barbecue sauce, because I am from Kansas City, and I had an unused glass of water there, but I handed it to him. And Amanda said, "What do you say? What do you say?" She was trying to get him to say thank you, of course, which he refused to do because he's Bennett. He handed her the glass, and he walked away. Now, if that had been his father, I would have run him down. And barbecue sauce hands and all. I would have grabbed him. I would have forcefully encouraged him to say thank you. But I am not the mother that God gave to little Bennett. So on this particular occasion, I did not overstep my boundaries, not that I don't occasionally. But it occurred to me that saying thank you is one of the very first things that we teach our little ones when they learn to talk. We all understand and appreciate the importance of gratitude. Thankfulness can change a relationship. All of us here are far more inclined to go above and beyond the call of duty for someone who we know appreciates it than for someone who doesn't. Children learn that from an early age, thank you is an appropriate response. And for sure, all of us adults like to be appreciated. Yet when it comes to praising and giving thanks to our Heavenly Father, so often we just drop the ball. When it comes to giving thanks to God, you know, I don't suppose that in Scripture there is any other passage that speaks to that, like the account of the 10 lepers in our scripture lesson for this morning. We all know the story, but occasionally it's really good to be reminded. The story begins. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Don't ever think, ever, that death is the worst thing that can happen to a person. It is not. And this account is a case in point. These 10 men were breathing, walking, talking, eating human beings. They had hopes. They had fears, feelings, just like you and I. But in reality, they were the walking dead. They were considered as dead in their culture. Leprosy was the most dreaded of all diseases. It ate away at the body, left its victims maimed and disfigured. There was no known cure. For all practical purposes, these men were dead. Now, their situation was made even worse by the fact that in ancient times, leprosy was considered to be highly contagious. Actually, Johnny, that's not true. We know today that Hansen's disease isn't very contagious just for so. Oh, how do you like that? Just for so. It can be transmitted, though, like HIV/AIDS, through bodily fluids. However, unlike AIDS, it can be treated, it can be cured. But tell that to ancient superstition. Now, Scripture makes it clear these lepers stood at a far distance because Jewish law was very clear. A leper, by law, could not get within 50 yards of a clean person. Wherever they went, if they saw anyone, they had to yell. They were required to yell, "Unclean! Leper!" Some people would throw stones to make for sure they stayed at a safe distance. Leprosy was a serious health issue. But in that culture, it also came with the stigma of ritual uncleanness, a punishment from God. So they not only had to live with this terrible disease, they not only had to live with this physical handicap, They also had to live with being ostracized by friends and family, all other human contact. Talk about the pit of loneliness. In and of itself, that degree of loneliness and despair can drive a person over the edge. Add all that other stuff, and oh my, what a terrible existence these men had. But, and with God there is always a but. Even in the midst of this horrible situation, these lepers had something to be thankful for. Because in their common misery, they had found each other. And they had banded together. And they were no longer alone. It is no coincidence that we're told that one of the lepers was a Samaritan. Ew! A dreaded Samaritan half-breed dog? Are you kidding me? No self-respecting Jew in that day would have had anything to do with a Samaritan. Yet because these men shared a common misery, they had forgotten that they were Jew and Samaritan. I know what you're saying. Misery loves company. And of course, that might be it. But it is no secret that there is power in communion and fellowship. We talked about that last week. Especially the fellowship of people who have a common need. That brings me to the first point of the story, and that's this. Even in the midst of our trials, there is always something to be thankful for. Now, some of you might be thinking, that's pretty easy for you to say, Pastor Sonny, because you don't know the problems that I've had. And you don't know the circumstances that I'm dealing with right now. Now, what I want you to know is I am not minimizing, I am not in denial about the fact that there are very deep and troubling pains and sorrows that all of us deal with. But consider the plight of these 10 men. Do any of us have it worse than these guys did? Yet in the middle of this deplorable situation, they had something to be thankful for. They had found each other. The closing hymn that we're going to sing this morning is one of the great songs of thanksgiving, and it's entitled, Now Thank We All Our God. Lutheran pastor Martin Reinkert wrote this hymn in 1637. Talk about staying power. It was at the time of the 30-year war in Germany. A wall fortified the city of Eilenburg, and that's where he was the pastor. It became a haven for people who were fleeing the ravages of the war. But soon, so many people had come to the city, it got to be so overcrowded, all the food ran out, a famine hit, and a terrible plague ran through Eilenburg. It became like a giant morgue. Dead people in the streets. In that single year, and that year is 1637, 6,000 people in Reichert's German village died. That included his wife and all of his children. They all died from the plague. He himself personally conducted 4,500 funerals in that year, including his wife and all of his children. Now think about that. Think about that situation. And remember that in the middle of that tragic loss and that tragic personal loss, all the devastation that surrounded that man, he sat down and he wrote the hymn, Now Thank We All Our God with hearts and hands and voices. You know, soon we're going to have Thank Offering Sunday. We do it every year for the new folks. It's always a Sunday before Thanksgiving. The Circle of Friends does the entire service. They pick a special ministry that we give a special offering to. We do it once a year. This year, Teen Challenge is coming. We have a special connection this year with our buddy that's in Teen Challenge that we are supporting there. And then Thanksgiving is going to be here. Have you guys ever really wondered what it was that the first pilgrims had to be thankful for? You know, that familiar painting that we love, you know, and we've got little ceramic figures of little pilgrims and Indians, the children dress up, feasting together before tables of food. That does not adequately tell how that went down. The first Thanksgiving for the pilgrims found half of their numbers dead. Families were devastated. They didn't even have the barest of comforts. They were people without a home. They had nothing. Yet in the midst of that, there was gratitude to God. The pilgrim Thanksgiving originally, the original Thanksgiving was not for all of the material blessings that we enjoy. It was one of hope and faith and confidence in God. You know, many years ago, I was sitting with a young man in a prison cell. When I was in Minersville, I spent a little more time in prison than I do now. He was in deep, deep despair. I was trying to encourage him. I was trying to remind him that he could have hope for a future. I tried to encourage him that there was even a degree of contentment that he could have in prison, that there was a degree of even quiet joy that he could have in prison where he was. And he said to me, "You know, Pastor Sonny, you don't know what it's like here." And I said, "You know what? You're right. I don't know. And I hope I never know. But I want to read to you something. Some words from someone who did know." And I read to him the words Paul wrote when he was a prisoner in a terrible, dingy dungeon in Rome. And these are the words that Paul wrote from that prison cell. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Remember where Paul wrote those words. In 1912, there was a former pharmacist in New Jersey. He was stuck in a damp and dreary basement apartment. It was leaky. It was moldy. He didn't have any windows, much less the view of a garden. And he wrote these words. "I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses." You know, it's easy to find ourselves in a pit of despair. Maybe it's time that we should sit down and take an inventory of our blessings. You know, for me in my life, one of the best prayers that has been uplifting for people that I know and love has been, "Lord, let us dwell on our blessings and not our trials." Even in the midst of suffering, reasons can be found to give thanks. That's the first lesson. But you can't stop there. Finding reasons to be grateful is well and good. But the second lesson is far more important, and that is, in the midst of problems, our thanksgiving and our worship needs to be shared. It needs to be spoken. Look at the story with me. As Jesus entered the village, 10 lepers, they seek him out on purpose. They didn't just run into him. Word had already reached them that this street preacher had already cured a leper not that far away in another village. The group approaches him with the words, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And he says, "Go show yourselves to the priests." That might sound a little odd to us, but here's the deal. When you read priest / public health officer. If a person had been cured from an infectious disease, he had to go so the priest could clear him to re-enter society. The lepers were probably a little confused. "We're still lepers, right? Yeah, we're still wearing our leper's rags." But they believed Jesus, and even though it seemed curious to them that he would send them to the priest while they still were suffering from leprosy. They were obedient to what it is he told them to do, even though they didn't really get it, you know? I don't know how to explain what happened next. I can't even begin to explain how it happened, but the fact is, as those 10 lepers went and were obedient to Jesus on their way to the priest, something happened to them. And Luke writes it so simply. Don't you love it? And as they went, they were cleansed. Boom. As they went, they were cleansed. Now, at this point, you know, we don't think, oh, we don't even have to finish the story. We know how this ends. These cured men, they go running back to Jesus. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus, blessed healer. You know, they're like, woo! Great physician, praise be to the Lord our God. No, that is not how this goes. That's not how Luke recounts the story. 9 of the 10 were never heard from again. What a pitiful testimony to human nature. I mean, seriously. What rank ingratitude. This cannot be the picture of 90% of the people in the world. But then again, do you know in the world in which we live in now, there are more people dying, tortured, and starving in numbers that have rarely been seen before in human history. Yet according to a Gallup poll, are you ready for this? 9 out of 10 American families will not even say a memorized prayer when they sit down to their Thanksgiving dinner this year. Jesus says, where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except for this foreigner? Are we really any better than those 9? But there was one who did return. Verse 15, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. What an ending! The picture of the one grateful leper reminds us today to choose a better way. But wait, there's another lesson here. And it's irony, just to see if you're paying attention. There's lots of those in scripture, you know. Verse 16, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. The one who returned was a Samaritan. I mean, if we were living back then, we would be screaming with laughter right now. Are you kidding me? The half-breed dog, Gentile, the one considered unholy, he showed just how holy his heart really was. He's the one who expressed his gratitude. And here's the kicker. This man received not only a physical blessing that all 10 of them got, but because he came back, Jesus gave him a spiritual blessing. He got a pass. He said to him, go on your way. Your faith has saved you. The other 9, most probably all Jews, they had been freed from the misery of leprosy, but they were still in bondage to the misery of their sin and their ingratitude. You know, when I think of praise and worship and giving thanks, I am always reminded of a sermon that was given by my favorite preacher, Bishop T.D. Jakes. Mark, you got that queued up? Many, many years ago, just a second, he gave a sermon, this is a long time ago, on the difference between praise and worship. This has stuck with me. Oh my gosh, I wake up at night thinking of this sermon. For me, true worship is about giving thanks. Now listen to this excerpt, excuse me, from his sermon. You got it up? Okay. If it works. There he is.
Let me explain the difference between praise and worship. Anybody can praise God. In fact, everybody ought to praise God. The Bible said, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Anybody can praise him, because when you praise God, you start praising the Lord. I thank you for giving me my shoes. I thank you for giving me my suit. I thank you for how you gave me my job. I thank you for how you blessed me with this car. I thank you for how you brought me through college. I thank you for how you're helping my career. All of that is praise. Praise thanks God for what he did. Let me show you the difference between praise and worship. The praiser thanking God for his shoes. The worshiper says, if I don't have no shoes, if I don't have no car, if I don't have any house, if I never get anything, I worship you for who you are. I worship you because you're God. You don't have to perform. You don't have to impress me. You don't have to play Santa Claus. But just because you're God, you mean so much to me. I'll tear up my face and cry. I'll mess up my makeup and cry. I'll shake down my hair and cry. Oh, you're so valuable. Your presence is valuable. Your love is valuable. Your peace is valuable. I just want to be alone so I can walk.
Nobody be sleeping if I preach like that in a Sunday morning. As we approach this season, I'd like us to rethink it and maybe just start giving thanks before Thanksgiving begins. And let's not just give thanks, but let's worship God for who he is. Let's remember the words of the Apostle Paul. Rejoice always. Pray consistently. Give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. It is the will of God, Paul says, to give thanks to him. I can well imagine that there are some of us here this morning that are long, long overdue in worshiping and expressing our thanks to God. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Father God, we don't want to be like the nine. We want to be like the one who returned and gave you thanks and worshiped your holy name. Give us hearts full of worship, not for the stuff we have, but for who you are. For we pray it in the name of the one who makes it all possible, Jesus the Christ. Amen.